We now on our roster have 8 or 9 Vermonters. Guys that played Little League baseball here in Vermont, high school baseball here in Vermont, are playing college baseball either in Vermont or outside of Vermont at a very high level. And it allows them to play in front of 4,000 fans on any given night as Vermonters. Fans look up on the video board and see Wyatt Cameron's name from Salisbury, Vermont. You know, they're cheering a little extra harder for that guy.
Stories tell everything. When someone tells a story, it resonates.
We're allies in trying to keep the attention and the money and the conversation local.
We've always found once we get people to Vermont, they love it here.
And it breaks down those stereotypical views of what people would otherwise think is happening up in Vermont.
Welcome to Learning Life, where we talk to Vermonters about their businesses, aspirations, and stories of life in the Green Mountains. I'm your host, John Toda. Let's get into it. CJ Knutson, welcome to Learning Life.
Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be here.
So it's great to have you here in the studio with us at Dialed Studio at Hula. Thank you for making the trip in here and meeting with us in person.
Oh, it's great. It's great to actually meet you face-to-face and have a conversation with you as opposed to doing it over Zoom or online.
I know. It's a nice change nowadays. So, CJ, you're Senior Vice President of Lake Monsters. Everyone's probably seen your name a ton, and they know a lot about the Lake Monsters, of course. But let's talk a little bit about growing up in Vermont. You're a homegrown Vermont product, pretty much homegrown Vermont product. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up and what it was like growing up here in the Green Mountains.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately not a Vermont native because I didn't move to Vermont until I was 3 years old. So from Poughkeepsie, New York, but Got here when I was three, grew up on a mountaintop in Jonesville, Vermont. I have three older brothers, moved there because my parents worked for IBM, got transferred up from the Endicott area. And then, started my career here in Vermont as a three-year-old kid, riding bicycles all over the mountaintop, climbing up the mountain, having lunch up there. My dad actually built a ski jump for us in the backyard and learned how to ski at Cochran's, went to Campbell's Hump Middle School, and then decided to go to Rice High School in Burlington.
Very cool. Yeah, you're the product of all that good Vermont upbringing. It turned you into quite a good athlete in the early days. Tell us a little bit about Rice and what got you into baseball, because obviously you played there, and what was that experience like?
Yeah, man, ever since I was young, I just loved baseball. You know, we would play in the cul-de-sac all summer long, basically, with my older brothers and their friends, and play baseball literally until Well, we had no streetlights there because not a lot of electricity in Jonesville at the time, but we'd play until the sun go down and just loved playing baseball, loved following baseball. My favorite baseball player was Ozzie Smith growing up, and it was just something that I always wanted to play baseball. And fortunately, my skills at baseball kind of ended in high school. You know, I was a DH for Rice, which was fun. I played first base for him. We made it to the semifinals of the state championship, D1, back in 1992. Lost in the semis, but had a chance to play two games at Centennial Field as a senior at Rice. And one of them was a day game against South Burlington High School, had a decent game. Another one was actually a night game under the lights, which was, you know, pretty awesome for a high school kid at the time. I played against Mount Mansfield, which was a lot of the buddies that I grew up with in Jonesville and Richmond area, and had a great game there. Hit a double off the wall, so I remember that memory. And so it's really fun for me to be back at Centennial, you know, just being a part of that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Full circle.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so you went to Keene State. Did you play baseball there in college?
No, actually, I went to Keene to study sports management. That was kind of the new up-and-coming career at the time. And so they had a great program. I was accepted to Keene. And when I was there, my freshman year, my roommate played lacrosse for the college. And so we would just go to the quad and just toss the ball around a little bit. And then he said to me, oh, you should try out for the team. And I said, no, probably not. But I ended up trying out, you know, as a walk-on, and I made the team and got no playing time my freshman year. Spent the whole summer before my sophomore year just throwing a ball against the wall and practicing and working hard, and then I started getting some playing time. And then I was a defender for them, and then did the same thing the summer prior to my junior year and practiced as much as I possibly could, and then, you know, made the team as a starter and then became their MVP my junior year, senior year, and captain senior year. So it was a cool, very cool, fun transition.
That's awesome. That's super cool. And so I think you started with the Lake Monsters or the Vermont, was it the Vermont Expos back then?
Expos, yeah, 1995.
As a summer intern, right?
Yeah, so summer intern. And I remember I met with the GM at the time, Tom Racine. I was wearing a brand new suit that my parents just bought me, which basically didn't fit at all. And I met with him over the Easter holiday, and I needed to do an internship as part of my degree for Keene. And I heard that Vermont had a new baseball team, and so I figured maybe I could be an intern for them. So I walk in, and here's a guy that's about 65 years old, knows way more about life than I do, and I'm at the time 20 years old, and walk in. I say, I'd like to be an intern for the Vermont Expos, and so I sit down across his desk, and he's kind of looking at me, and he's like, well, we're not going to pay anything, and then you're going to work a lot of hours. And I said, okay, sounds good. And then about a week later, he called back and said, you're hired, and I started my career ultimately in baseball, and drove around the entire state of Vermont delivering little tiny pocket schedules, delivered about 100,000 pocket schedules literally in every corner of the state.
Oh, that's awesome. And Yeah. And so you worked your way up, back then, worked your way up to general manager of, I think they had become the Lake Monsters by that time, right?
Yeah, so I was with those guys for the summer in 1995. And then at the end of my internship is when I realized, like, this could be a really fun, cool, interesting career. Graduated in 96 from Keene. Couldn't really find a job in the East. My parents at that point got transferred to Houston, Texas. So I figured, let's give Texas a try. And then I was down there for a few months. And then Kyle Bostwick, who was the GM after Tom Racine unfortunately passed away, Kyle became the GM of the Vermont Expos. He asked me to come aboard as his assistant GM. So I rejoined the club in March of 97 as the assistant GM. So it was basically just Kyle and myself. And then we're able to kind of build it up until Ray Pecor decided to purchase the Ottawa Lynx in 2000, and Kyle moved to Ottawa, and then I became the GM in June of 2000, with the youngest GM in the country at the time.
Very cool. That's awesome. And so I know in that stretch you had lots of recognition for all the things that you did, both with the team and in the community. The community aspect seems to be really important to you. Tell us a little bit about the draw to that and how you see the Lake Monsters' role in the community here today.
I think the Lake Monsters are really just woven into the fabric of the state of Vermont. I mean, I think, what makes a sports team, especially a baseball team, successful is engaging the community. And we've been trying to do that really since 1994. I think a community is also really fortunate to have a baseball team. When this was a minor league baseball team, there was only 160 communities in the entire country that had minor league baseball. When Major League Baseball unfortunately eliminated minor league baseball and changed the whole structure after the 2020 season, they eliminated 42 minor league baseball teams, and Burlington was one of them. And so we were trying to figure out where to land, but the loss of a team in the community is really unfortunate. It takes away job opportunities for people. It takes away tax revenue from local authorities. It takes away entertainment options for people. And so I think a lot of people were concerned in terms of the Lake Monsters and the impact that they've had on the community, literally doing everything from helping to raise funds for nonprofits to employing and training 14, 15-year-old people for their first jobs. I think a lot of people are concerned in terms of what was going to happen with the team.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, this move to the Futures League. I don't think most people even know that happened. I think we saw it in the news a lot, how they were shrinking the minor leagues and changing the whole structure. And obviously, Lake Monsters are now the Futures Collegiate Baseball League. Is that correct?
It is. That's correct. Yeah, and to give a little history, in 1994, when it was the Vermont Expos, they were the single-A affiliate for the Montreal Expos, and we were with the Expos for a number of years. Then it became the Nationals, then it became the A's. And at the end of the day, what that is basically, the Oakland Athletics would loan us their players and coaching staff. They would come to Burlington for the summer, play at Centennial Field, and help develop their skills. So the team itself had no control over who played for us. We did no scouting. We had no decision-making in terms of our on-field product. So. And that's kind of what minor league baseball was. When we were eliminated as an official minor league baseball team, we were trying to figure out where to bring the franchise. The Futures League worked out really well because that's a summer collegiate league. It's geared towards guys that are in college, and we have 100% control over who plays for us, and we do all of our recruiting ourselves. And so we can actually have a direct impact in terms of our on-field product and also our off-field product.
Yeah, and so for everybody listening, tell us a little bit about how kind of the structure works, how many teams are in the Futures League now, and how does it differ? Obviously, it sounds so much cooler for you running a team because you actually have more control over the roster and how you build the team. For the fans, how is it different? What should they expect?
I think the thing that which is fantastic is we now on our roster have 8 or 9 Vermonters, actually guys that played Little League baseball here in Vermont, high school baseball here in Vermont, are playing college baseball either in Vermont or outside of Vermont at a very high level, and it allows them to play in front of 4,000 fans on any given night as Vermonters. Fans look up on the video board and see Wyatt Cameron's name from Salisbury, Vermont. You know, they're cheering a little extra harder for that guy. The other thing that's really good is, you know, we've got the best of the best baseball players in the entire country with us as well. Guys that are playing at Wake Forest and D1 programs that are playing in the College World Series, which they'll join us as either they win the series or get eliminated. And so our team is now comprised of not only Vermonters, but other guys that are will be drafted by major league clubs and will be, you know, major league baseball players, you know, someday. So I think having the Futures League, it's been really impactful for the entire community, because I think the community now more than ever it has engaged in the Lake Monsters. And we're now more than ever Vermont's team.
Yeah, I love that aspect of it too, that you can look up at the board and see Vermont products up there. And so from a team building perspective, how does that work? How much of your team do you want to be local products because they're more connected to the community and it's a great piece of the puzzle for fans as well? And then how much of your job now is really out there scouting talent at different colleges and trying to recruit them in?
Yeah, we are very fortunate that we live in Burlington, Vermont. I mean, as a lot of listeners know, Burlington, Vermont's an awesome place. It's a great place to live and visit. And so in 2021, when we decided to join the Futures League, we just basically decided that, and that really happened around March. And so we had no players on our roster at all. We basically had our director of player development, Morgan Brown, who played at Harvard, went to Harvard, obviously a very smart individual. So he kind of leads our scouting department, and our manager, Pete Wilk. So it was just those two guys. We sent out 1,300 emails to various colleges and universities to try to get players. And that was in 2021. We had 11 Vermonters play for us that year, 67 different guys play for us, and we were able to cobble together and win the first championship there since 1996. After the 2021 season ended, we're no longer really recruiting. Everyone's coming to us because they want to, you know, play in front of 4,000 fans. They want to play for the Vermont Lake Monsters because the word's gotten out that this is a place to play, to spend the summer. And it's just a great stepping stone in their collegiate careers and ultimately their professional careers.
That's awesome. And for all of our listeners, I think you slipped it in there, but you did first year in the Futures League and the Lake Monsters won the championship, right?
We did. And that was the year coming out of COVID. And I remember when the season started, we were spacing our fans 6 feet apart with masks on and all sorts of different random restrictions. And so to build and launch a franchise in ultimately a month and a half with no players and to win the championship was pretty awesome. You know, we set Future League records for wins in 2021, 2022. We were named the Organization of the Year back-to-back 2021, 2022. And it's been a ton of fun. I mean, it's been a ton of fun because, you know, we can control the product on the field. We can decide who plays for us. And at the end of the day, our recruiting philosophy is they have to be really high-quality individuals off the field first and then good baseball players second.
Yeah, and I think it's so cool for the fans where you said it's Vermont's team, and it really is Vermont's team, and the idea that you can see some local products there and you're getting to build that team and not just being told who goes on it.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think when we go visit Little Leaguers, we talk about that. Say, hey, you know, these players right here that you're looking at were once Little Leaguers playing in Vermont. And which baseball in Vermont is starting to get really good. And so I think that's you know, really impactful that, you know, not that we're going to start recruiting Little Leaguers playing for us, but they have a legitimate shot of playing, you know, for the Lake Monsters in front of their, you know, family and friends and also Major League Baseball scouts. And so, you know, there's opportunities for them to succeed and potentially, you know, be seen and you know, maybe play Major League Baseball one day.
Yeah, that's great. And so how does – you'd mentioned 4,000 fans at Centennial Field – how does the Lake Monster experience compare to some of the other teams in the Futures League as far as kind of the size of the stadium and the amount of fans that you get and all that? Is this like a really prime destination for players?
It is, yeah. I think really everybody in the country wants to play in Burlington. And in our league itself, we're definitely drawing a lot of fans. We're the number one draw in terms of attendance for the league. And I think the interesting thing about the Futures League is, you know, they're playing in really cool venues and facilities. You know, Centennial Field is one of the oldest baseball stadiums in the entire country in all of baseball. The field itself is built in 1906. The existing grandstands were built in 1922. But we've also put in a ton of new fan amenities over the past year and a half, new field-level suites down the right field line that's really geared towards corporate outings and group outings. You know, we make all of our pizza 100% homemade on site. You know, we had a custom-made oven from Italy, you know, flown in Lake Monsters colors. And so we've really upped our food game at the ballpark. We obviously have great local beers that are literally made a mile or 2 miles away from the stadium. And the great thing about the Futures League now is we're able to we have no restrictions ultimately. And so we're no restrictions by Major League Baseball. So we're able to use local vendors for just about everything. Local T-shirts, hats, where all that stuff before had to go through national licensees. And so, and also, you know, food products. You know, we got a ton of made in Vermont food products that we sell and offer at the ballpark.
Oh, that's super cool. And I don't think a lot of people know even that a change like that happens. And so it's like, ultimately, you want to, you know, go local, watch the local Vermont team, eat local food, and get some good craft beers. And that's awesome that you could do that.
Yeah, and that's been one really great advantage of being in the Futures League. And the Futures League is a strong league. You know, it's been around since 2011. They play in larger venues. So we play in, Norwich Scenicorns, which was the team that I was with prior to coming back to the Vermont Lake Monsters to relaunch after COVID. You know, that's a double-A facility for the Yankees that seats about 7,000 people. There's 18 field-level skybox or 18 skyboxes, so that's a large facility. You know, the stadium in Nashua, I think Holcomb Field, it's one of the older ballparks too. You know, it's got a beautiful brick-and-mortar structure, so there's some really neat venues in the Futures League here.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool that it's made this change, and it opens up so much opportunity just to engage with the game in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we just did recently is, we're launching a Vermont Lake Monsters outpost program where we'd like to have one outpost in all 14 counties. And the reason why we're doing that is, to let people know that, you know, hey, there might be a player from your town or your county that is playing for the Vermont Lake Monsters. So we actually launched that last week at Two Brothers Tavern in Middlebury. We teamed up with those guys. They're kind of our test pilot. And so they're the official outpost of the Vermont Lake Monsters in Addison County. We had five of our players there. We had Champ there. There's about 100 people that attended, a lot of little leaguers. And our players are signing autographs and taking photos. And why we're doing this is to continue to have the brand stretch outside of Chittenden County. And now more than ever, you know, it's local Vermonters playing for us. And that in conjunction with WYCI, which is WCX's sister station, they're broadcasting 8 games on television. And so basically they're Two Brothers Tavern is doing a watch party every time we televise our games. And our baseball games were never televised really before. And so that's another good step in the right direction of providing additional entertainment options and experience for our fans.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so for people who are interested in the team, who are some of the players that you want to spotlight, some people we should keep an eye on?
Yeah, I think, we've got a ton of awesome players. Kobe Roulette, he's kind of our DH power hitter out of Georgia, Vermont. You know, he went to BFA St. Albans, just graduated from Clarkson. Wyatt Cameron out of Middlebury and, you know, Salisbury, Vermont. You know, we've got literally a ton of them. You know, I brought the roster here so we could take a look at it. But, we got Tyler Favoretto from Canada, Oliver Pudvar from Shelburne, you know, Shelburne, Vermont. So there's literally, a handful of guys here.
It's really cool. I mean, just looking down at a roster and seeing, like, I live in Shelburne. So to see a Shelburne kid on the roster, that's awesome. That's a reason to get out and go to games, too. So that's really cool. And so for people who want to follow the team, find out more about the players, schedule wherever they might be, and maybe find out where some of these outposts are. Where do they go? Go to the Lake Monsters website?
Yeah, they can go to our website at VermontLakeMonsters.com. You know, they can follow our social media stuff. And we're always planning and doing additional things like the outpost program. You know, we do a ton of community engagement stuff. We're doing a baseball clinic, free baseball clinic for a local charity coming up here in July. So we're we're definitely engaged in the community beyond just baseball. You know, it's doing stuff that we can to help out people raise funds for their nonprofit and or help, you know, get an engagement for them.
And I think big news this year, you're hosting the All-Star Game here in at Centennial Field, right?
We are, yeah. The last time there was an All-Star Game was July 14th, 1986.
Oh, no way.
1986. So it was almost 37 years ago. So we're hosting that on Tuesday, July 25th. The market is incredibly excited about it. We've already sold over 1,000 tickets for it. That's just going to be a, you know, pardon the pun, but a home run for the entire community. So that's taking place on Tuesday, July 25th. The day before, on that Monday, July 24th, we're going to have a home run derby at the ballpark, followed by an on-field concert, and also basically like a brewery tasting as well, so with some of our partners. So, and the home run derby is going to be a show. Like I got a chance to watch the home run derby in the All-Star Game in New Britain in 2021, 2022, and these guys were just dropping unbelievable home run bombs. I mean, they're just, you know, hitting 14 home runs each round, and so it's going to be a ton of fun for our fans watching these guys hit home runs at Centennial.
And so you said it's July 25th, right?
July 25th is the game. The home run derby is July 24th.
24th. And tickets just through the website? Are they still available?
Yeah, they're still available. People can go to VermontLakeMonsters.com. It's just really a great thing for the entire community, the state, the region. People are going to be flying in from across the country. There'll be Major League Baseball scouts there. There'll be a ton of activities, obviously, on the concourse, on the field. So it's just another really fun thing that we're able to do here for our fans. And, you know, we're doing things like, you know, last night we did 25-cent hot dog hysteria night. It was a rainy night, but we still had 2,300 people there.
Really?
And our guys were wearing the most hideous jerseys you'd ever see in your life. They're orange and yellow with little quarters on them with a large hot dog, but the fans absolutely loved them. And they're so hideous, they're cool. And we'll do two more of those, and each time we do a hot dog hysteria, if the weather's nice, we'll sell 10,000 hot dogs every time.
Oh, you're kidding. I guess that's probably something you couldn't do when you were affiliated with the MLB.
we did that a little. We did that a couple times, and that was a fan favorite. But yeah, it's we wouldn't wear the jerseys on field, but these guys love them. And we actually also just launched, you know, about a month ago, the Vermont Creamies. So Vermont Creamies is kind of an alternate identity for us. We're kind of testing out. We launched that, and the response has been overwhelmingly positive. And so people, you know, could wear, you know, Vermont Creamy hats and T-shirts as a way for us to kind of pay tribute to the Tasty Treat.
Oh, that's awesome. Can you get that gear online, or do they got to come to the stadium to get it?
They can get that online, yeah.
Nice.
Online. So it's going really well for the Lake Monsters. And at the end of the day, the reason why is it's the fans. You know, the fans are really, they're loving it. They love this style of baseball. You know, I've heard from literally hundreds of people, you know, over email, over phone calls, or at the games themselves, saying that they love this quality of baseball. This quality of baseball is about the same, if not better, than when it was single A, but it's more engaging. You know, the guys are more exciting to be there. For example, like Kobe Roulette, you know, this is his third year with us. When it was affiliated ball, if a guy was performing well, he would be here for maybe a month and then never to be seen or heard from again. And so it's great to be able to have local fan favorites here.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of an interesting aspect to it, too, because you get more attached to your players here now because you know they're going to be around a little bit longer.
Without a doubt, yeah. And, you know, guys will walk down Church Street to get lunch or whatever, and they'll get stopped by fans, and they'll sign autographs. And, you know, so for somebody from California or from Vermont or Kansas, wherever they're coming from, you know, to get treated like that is awesome. And these guys love it, and they realize how really supportive, how much support they're getting here from the local fan base.
Yeah, and I think everybody here loves the fact that we've got our local team that we can support like that. And so, obviously, I think your season started. We're recording right now, first week of June. How deep into the season are we already?
We're about 11 or 12 games into the season. We're in second place right now. The guys are playing great ball, and we're still waiting on 10 more guys to arrive. You know, 10 more guys that are coming out again from the D1 powerhouse schools to fill out our roster. But I mean, the guys are having a ton of fun. I mean, literally, when you walk into the clubhouse, it's You know, they're blaring music and laughing and high-fiving each other all the time. And so the culture in the clubhouse is already great. You know, and we obviously run this like it's a very professional organization, and they travel by beautiful buses and stay in hotels when they go on the road. And it's just a, you know, it's just a ton of fun for not only them, but really for us as well.
That's awesome. How many games in the season?
I play 64 games this year and hopefully make the playoffs.
And the playoffs start when?
They'll start around August 7th or 8th and wrap everything up by around August 12th or 13th this year. So it's a lot of baseball, but it's just so much fun. I mean, and that at the end of the day is what it's about is we're in the business of not just baseball, but really entertainment. Entertainment for our fans, for a place for them to come out and have a 25-cent hot dog or have a local Wilcox ice cream, you know, from our ice cream stand. And so it's or have a wonderfully made, handmade custom pizza. So, and that's really what it's about. It's about getting a high five from Champ and a hug and an autograph and getting a free baseball to take home and play catch with and to hopefully just build not only baseball players but fans for many, many years.
Yeah, yeah. And you still got all the games and things for the kids in the back behind the field?
We do, yeah. We have the kid zone back there too. And there's just a ton of promotions, great giveaways, everything from Champ bobblehead dolls to, you know, beach towels to, you know, kids eat free every Wednesday, you know, senior nights for seniors 60 and over now. Every Tuesday is half off tickets and you get a voucher for a soft drink. So there's something for everybody, for the young and old.
Oh, that's awesome. And I have to ask you on a sadder note, I heard the news about Pete Wilk, your manager. How's he doing?
He's battling. Yeah, he's battling. You know, Pete has led our charge and led our team really since day one, you know, since 2021, 22. He was named the manager of the year 2021 and 2022. And, you know, he was the manager at Georgetown for 20 years. Absolutely fell in love with Vermont in 2021. He brings his two daughters up here and his wife, and they spend the summer. You know, he's struggling right now. And that's you know, tough for us to, you know, handle. I know it's tough for him to handle, but, you know, he's hoping to get up here as soon as he can. You know, he's still our manager. You know, he's still our skipper, and we're managing the team and coaching the team using, you know, how he would do it. But we can't wait for him to get up here. Hopefully he can get up here and join us in the next couple weeks.
Well, we're all praying for him in Vermont, and hopefully we'll have him back with the team soon.
Yeah, definitely. We can't wait. We're going to do a Play for Pete day at the ballpark on July 8th. And nice. So all the guys are going to wear kind of lavender, you know, purple uniforms with his name on the back and his number. And then we're going to auction those off online to help raise funds for his GoFundMe page.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And that's July 8th?
July 8th, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, man, CJ, thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Yeah, I loved coming on here. Hopefully I didn't bore people about my background growing up in Jonesville, Vermont, but it's been a ton of fun to, you know, be back home and help provide a little bit of community service when people come out to the ballpark.
Well, it's great hearing your story and so great to have you back with the Lake Monsters.
Thank you, John. Go Monsters.
Yeah, and to all our listeners, thank you for listening every week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe and leave us comments. We'd love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Tota here. I want to thank you for tuning in to another Learning Life episode. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you could take a minute to rate us and write a review wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great episodes to you.